The Holy Gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about the whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick people in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Invite you to be seated. I think I hear Sammy over there. Sammy, it's good to have you back. Sammy has autism and makes noises and sounds and claps in order to communicate. Jeremiah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. I think that when most Christians hear this, at first we hear it as a good and needed scolding to wayward pastors, whom we often call shepherds, right? However, these words are aimed at the king. Shepherd was the metaphor for king, who was understood to be anointed by God for the purpose of serving and protecting God's people, God's sheep. And this king, Zedekiah, was not doing such a great job. In the reading, we hear that his administration was guilty of perversions of injustice, foolishness, and actions that result in the worsening and the destruction of people's lives, which never happens with administrations these days. In these words, through Jeremiah, God promises to act because his first concern is for his people. He promises to attend to those who harm his people. God promises that a king from the line of David will be raised up who will not have his own interests in mind, but rather will carry out the Lord's interests, the Lord's righteousness. Righteousness meaning rightness, not personal morality. David, the beloved king, was not known to have much personal morality. Rightness, all that God holds as good and right and just. And so it came to pass in the centuries to come, there were some good kings, some corrupt kings, and some kings who were very good, but none really that measured up to the king that God promised, David, who was the beloved king. Until, that is, a shoot that sprang up from the branch of David's kingdom, the baby born in David's hometown of Bethlehem, who became a different kind of king. Now, here's a side note. If you're worried about whether I'm, with especially my sarcastic comment, whether I'm picking on our current administration or President Trump, you might find it helpful to know that what I just said was word for word the sermon I preached on these texts in the year 2012, word for word. And I think many of you might not know that the readings are on a 3-year cycle, appointed each Sunday, with the first reading in the psalm connected to the gospel reading in some way. Actually, I was thinking, should I reveal that? Maybe some of you think that David and I are that clever. I don't know. But Lutherans and Episcopalians and Roman Catholics follow this lectionary cycle, this reading cycle, the practice of which goes back to Judaism, actually. And then, in recent years, some Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists have also chosen to use it. My point is that the themes for each Sunday come from appointed readings, and most importantly, from Scripture, from God's Word, which has been interpreted by preachers and musicians for thousands of years during the administrations of good and bad kings and presidents, and also pastors and bishops. Kings, presidents, pastors, and musicians come and go, but God's word is steadfast and consistent, calling us to account, judging us, and then comforting and giving us hope. Now back to where I went off road. To the baby king, the baby born in King David's hometown of Bethlehem, who became a different kind of king. And although Jesus is not to be an example of how kings should rule in this world, our world is simply too broken to be ruled by forgiveness and mercy, our world needs the bite of justice to restrain evil and sin. However, Jesus does reveal God's true heart and intention for this world, which is mercy and love. Actually, Martin Luther called this God's proper work, the work of the cross, God's heart revealed in mercy and forgiveness and love. That's what God wants to do, rule in mercy and love, his proper work. But because the world is broken, we're so untrusting and self-centered, God must use the alien work, Luther called it, of justice to keep our world in line. But in the end, God promises to be the final ruler of this world. Ultimately, on that last day, mercy and forgiveness and love will reign victorious. That's the hope we have in Christ's resurrection. When Jesus returned with forgiveness to the people who killed him or betrayed him. This different kind of king is a far cry from those who destroy and scatter the sheep. Jesus ran his administration with compassion. This is kind of the work of the church, the institution of church, gathering all of the needy people to him, the powerless, the leaderless, those without influence, basically people who fall through the cracks. Jesus is a different kind of shepherd, not one who governs from a seat of power, but one who governs from a seat of weakness. The cross is his throne, administering forgiveness to sinners and all the vulnerable who reach out to touch the fringe of his cloak. Jesus is our good shepherd, king, who gives to vulnerable little babies the strong, lasting name of beloved, just as he did to little Cole last week, baptized in this healing pool of water. Just as we were all given an eternal identity in baptism, beloved child of God, with whom God is well pleased and forever protected, if not in body, then in spirit and heart. Protected by the strong name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which in the end, nothing in this world can destroy. Amen. Which is what all of us baptized cling to in life, especially when people call us other names, or we ourselves call us other names in our heads, or when bad things happen, like you go into Trader Joe's shopping on a Saturday. We are beloved sons and daughters, and in the end, nothing can destroy us, for we are loved by the Good Shepherd, the King of the universe. However, because of sin and evil, included that which we participate in, we still need the other kind of shepherd and administration, the worldly kind, to restrain evil, offer protection, and to care for those who fall between the cracks. And how that happens and to what extent, that's what citizens decide upon. That's what we Christians can have different opinions about. And then when we, in our little kingdoms in life, tend to perversions of justice or foolishness or destructive actions, in other words, when we need to hear Jeremiah's words of judgment, we do know who will tend to us, don't we? The Good Shepherd, who brings forgiveness and healing, who restores us. We don't need to touch the fringe of his cloak, for he himself comes to us through the bread and wine and the word to forgive and restore. Right here among us today, in this word and around that table. Amen.